Welcome to NFL Live. Mel Kiper Jr.'s Mock 4.0 out today. Two full rounds posted on ESPN.com and a SportsCenter special coming your way in 1 hour as we welcome you to NFL Live with the draft getting ever closer. And big news today from Adam Schefter. Jaguars pass rusher Josh Allen has reached agreement on a 5-year, $150 million deal with $88 million guaranteed. The 26-year-old is coming off the best season of his career, a franchise record 17.5 sacks, tied for second in the NFL last season as he played on that fifth-year option on his rookie contract. His new deal has an average annual value of $30 million. That's third highest among defensive players, behind only Nick Bosa and Chris Jones. Three of the top five have been signed this offseason. Jones, Allen, and Brian Burns. And we have a football brain trust unlike any other today on NFL Live. Lewis Riddick, Field Yates, Mel Kiper Jr., Matt Miller joining us shortly. So we can no longer call him the other Josh Allen. He is in elite company, Lewis. Oh, why is he worth every penny for the Jags?
Well, really, this is a function of dependability, Hannah. This is someone that they trust, that he's going to do the right things on the field and off the field, and someone who is going to show up every week. Has not missed a game over the past three seasons. He's just 26 years old, has 32 sacks over the past 3 years, and really has been someone who, you know, on a defense that has had its issues, despite the fact that they have thrown a lot of resources at that side of the football, he has been one of those guys who has continued to deliver in terms of playing strong in the run game, being available, like I said, having a nice pass rush package that he can go to in terms of power and finesse. He's the kind of guy who can play with his hand down. He can play in a two-point stance. He can rush over the guard. They can move him around. Look, Josh has just been one of those guys who, fortunately for me, I've gotten a chance to talk to personally a couple different times, and I'm telling you, you aren't going to find a better teammate, a better team guy, someone who really gets the bigger picture. And when you add all those things up in terms of availability, consistency, production, and youth, these are the kind of people that you invest in and the kind of people who allow you to sleep well at night if you're a GM and an owner. So there's no surprise that they've made the investment in him that they did.
Yeah, I mean, what a great luxury if you have leaders on both sides of the ball. But those Jaguars field, they were one of the streakiest teams in the NFL last season. I mean, late in the year, we're talking about them vying for the top seed, and they fizzled down the stretch. So how did they get past that and be more consistent contenders?
Yeah, I want to get there in 1 second, Hannah, but I will say we're 15 days away from the NFL draft, and what better embodiment of what a team wants to do in the first round than what the Jaguars just did with Josh Allen? You draft him high, he performs, he carries himself exactly how you would like him to carry himself, as Lewis just was telling us about, and then you reinvest in the player. The best money you can spend is the guys that you know what they're all about. So bravo to the Jaguars and Josh Allen for accomplishing that. Now they got to hit that again with pick number 17 in this upcoming NFL draft. In terms of how they get over the hump, Hannah, this team has to A, not play down to its competition, and B, find a killer instinct. That was something that really bothered them late last year. They were 8-2. They were the talk of the town. They were the potential number one seed in the AFC. And then things started to fall apart. And it all began on a Monday Night Football game against the Bengals. This was before we thought that Jake Browning had not really become his sort of fully formed self. He ended up being a solid player for the Bengals. That was the game in which he built his confidence. But then think about the end of the season, week 18. You got to win to give yourself a chance to get into the playoffs, and you lose to a Titans team that had zero to play for whatsoever. You cannot be complacent. This team must treat every game like they are facing off against the class of the AFC. There were too many times in the second half of last year where they played like a team that was not prepared for the moment.
Yeah, really, I mean, that's the next stage in their growth, right, is understanding that the motor has to be running hot no matter what, and that over the course of 17 weeks, you have to maintain some level of consistency so then you are able to go into the playoffs with the right kind of mindset and give yourself a chance to win against the upper echelon of teams that you're obviously chasing and you're obviously the kind of level that you're trying to achieve. That's really what the next evolution is, or rather the next step in the evolution of the Jacksonville Jaguars is. That's why you invest in a guy like Josh Allen, because you believe he's one of the people that can spearhead that kind of growth. Now, on the defensive side overall, it needs to come in its totality. On the offensive side of the ball, it needs to come from people like Trevor Lawrence. He has to lead the way on that side of the ball because, look, you know, just average or sometimes isn't good enough, especially in an AFC that is just loaded with, you know, absolute upper echelon quarterback play, upper echelon coaching. And really right now, for all intents and purposes, that conference is the cream of the crop in the NFL. So they're going to have to take that next step, and we'll see if Josh Allen can help spearhead that next step.
Yeah, and when you're using terms like urgency and preparedness, those really should be a given. All right, let's move on to our other top story today. The NFL has announced that the Green Bay Packers will be the Eagles' opponent for the first ever NFL game in South America on Friday, September 6th in Brazil, one night after the traditional opener. It's the first time since 1970 the NFL has played on a Friday night in week one. The Eagles have previously been announced as the home team for the game in Sao Paulo. And I know, Lewis, we both covered NFL games in Mexico. You are a man of the world. You have called games all around the globe, in the UK and Mexico. What is your impression of how these NFL brands and the game itself are translating internationally?
Yeah, I think there's a definite thirst, a definite hunger, you know, just an overall interest in the league. By the league, I mean, look, when you go to some of these international games, you know, just last year going to London in particular, you see jerseys from all teams. You see all 32 teams represented. It's just not the two teams in particular that are playing, which to me speaks to the fact that the league overall, not just certain teams, not just the big marquee teams, are interesting to the to people abroad. And I think the NFL recognizes that. I think they're obviously trying to expand and really try to grow the game internationally in different geographic locations, you know, around the world. And then obviously, you know, money plays a part in this. The NFL is trying to continuously grow its source of revenue. And what better way to do that than to kind of take this game global and really capitalize on what is a growing interest in American football. And I've experienced it personally, and I really don't see any end to it, especially as this game gets younger, the scoring goes up, there's more increased, you know, interest in the game because of fantasy football and the like. So I think this is a great move. It'll be interesting to see how this game is received in Brazil.
Oh, yeah, and it's going to be in an arena there in Sao Paulo with a seating capacity of over 47,000. Should be an amazing scene. We've seen FIFA World Cup, their Olympic Games, and now the NFL. We are just getting started on NFL Live. Mel Kiper has some big draft movement in his 4.0 mock, breaking down why this Vikings move for a quarterback might be worth the reward. And as the Broncos prepare for life after Russell Wilson, find out why Mel thinks they should pass on a QB in round one.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Caleb Williams Show.
The crown jewel of this class.
What a throw! That's what Caleb Williams does. A beauty from Caleb Williams.
Oh, mama!
He's almost unstoppable.
Drake May is a player to watch in college football.
his physical ability, his competitiveness.
Drake May is going to blow some people away.
The best quarterback in this class.
Jaden Daniels, he was on every game. He could beat you legs or arm.
Daniels putting on a show.
The matchup nightmare, really rare and really impressive to me.
Here is a look at the top three picks in the draft according to Mel Kiper's 4.0 mock, which just came out today. Caleb Williams, first overall to the Bears still. Last year's Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels, second to the Commanders. Drake May, third to the Patriots. This will be just the fourth time in the common draft era that three quarterbacks go in the top three picks, and the first since 2021 when Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Trey Lance went top three. Trey Lance, of course, part of an epic pre-draft trade with the Niners moving up to take him. Mel also has three trades in the first two rounds, and here's the first one. The Vikings move up six spots to number five. They take Michigan's J.J. McCarthy. In exchange, the Chargers receive the number 11 and number 23 picks in the draft. They take tackle J.C. Latham and wide receiver Xavier Worthy to address their major draft needs. And they get the Vikings' first-round pick in 2025. And there he is, the man himself, Mel Kiper Jr. Matt Miller joins the football genius on this set right now. It's just unbelievable. It gets no better, ladies and gentlemen. It is. So, Mel, what was your thinking first behind that trade?
Well, first of all, J.J. McCarthy's 14 on the big board, but you think about the Minnesota Vikings, they have 11 and 23. They have the ability to move up and get J.J. McCarthy, who some are sold on, okay, as a future franchise quarterback. Why? Because he managed the game. He didn't throw interceptions. When they asked him to make a play, he did. That was under more pressure than most guys who were throwing it all over the yard. His margin for error a lot different than a lot of other quarterbacks. So for J.J. McCarthy, the interceptions were memorable, but decision-making overall and that Jim Harbaugh attack was solid. Accuracy as well. He's very athletic. He can beat you with his legs. He made a key play with his legs in that national championship game where he flipped field position. So I think you talk about game manager, everything you want. They gave up a lot, you think, to go up there, but they're in a division where they got to keep up, Hannah, with everybody else. Goff, Caleb coming into that division, and certainly Jordan Love emerging. So for Minnesota, it's almost a desperation move. You got to make a move to get the quarterback. Getting 11 and 23 gives you the ability to jump up there to five and get him.
Yeah, I know Mel doesn't like to do trades in his mock drafts, but this trade is fantastic, Kiper. And it's great for J.J. McCarthy. It's great for the Minnesota Vikings. Like you said, is he rated the number five overall player in this year's draft? No, but we know that teams are going to overpay for the quarterback position, and Minnesota has set the table perfectly for a young quarterback to come in and succeed. We talk about the best receiver in football, and we have a great young receiver opposite him in Jordan Addison. You've got bookend offensive tackles, a great tight end in TJ Hockenson. Oh, and they added Aaron Jones from within the division at tailback. This offense is ready for a young quarterback to come in and have that success because the infrastructure that they built around him. You have a former quarterback and a head coach, Kevin O'Connell. You have a great offensive coordinator in Wes Phillips. This is the ideal situation where a quarterback could come in and play, I think, right away. Even though they added Sam Darnold in free agency, I still think this is a great spot for J.J., given his experience in that Michigan system, guys, to come in and be an impact player right out of the gate.
And we know that structure, go ahead, by Lewis. And large, goes a long way, Hannah. Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, we know that structure, by and large, goes a large way towards determining success and failure at quarterback. And I think the structure in Minnesota, in particular the quarterback structure between Kevin O'Connell, between Josh McCown, who is now up there, in talking to Josh McCown, the answers that they have within the overall structure of this offense to help quarterbacks play at a high level, help them play with a level of confidence, knowing that when they get under center, they have answers for everything that a defense is going to throw at them, whether that be in the pass game or the run game, is something that every young quarterback can stand to benefit from. And then on top of it, when you have someone, you know, like a Sam Darnold, who is as well-traveled as he is, has played in the various systems that he has played in, coming over from San Francisco, that runs a system very similar to what they are going to run out there, you know, there in Minnesota, it's going to help speed up a guy like J.J. McCarthy's development if, in fact, they wind up trading up and drafting him. So I think, overall, for a young guy like this, regardless of what you think he has done or hasn't done in college. Right. The whole quarterback evaluation, you know, paradigm is subjective anyway. I think this is one of those places where this young man can come and absolutely blow everyone away with the way in which he can advance quickly in his maturation process and in his developmental process and wind up exceeding everyone's expectations based on what people think he is and because of what he did at Michigan, which is limited compared to some of the other quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's an exceptional landing spot. I mean, it really does feel like it would be a terrific spot for any of these young quarterbacks, probably part of the reason why Minnesota may feel emboldened to make this move up. And, you know, the draft, the responsibility of the NFL teams is to take the sample size, no matter how small or large, of these prospects, whether it's more starts than any other quarterback in the history of the FBS like Bo Nix, or whether it's a player in J.J. McCarthy who has two full seasons as a starter, and to project what that might look like at the NFL level. And I'm sure there are probably fans that are out there saying right now, this is the typical quarterback inflation that has taken place right now. I would just say this, in my conversations with people around the league, and you're never going to speak to every evaluator from every team, but I get the general sense that J.J. McCarthy is not viewed as a consolation prize. This is not the league inflating a quarterback because so many teams need a quarterback. Rather, that people feel around the NFL that J.J., when given within the confines of what Michigan asked him to do, excelled at those things when they needed him to be great. It wasn't as frequent as Jaden Daniels or Michael Penix Jr. or Caleb Williams, but when they needed him to be great, he was great. This team went 15-0, cruised to the national championship game last year with a great defense, yes. With a great running game, yes. But also some clutch production from J.J. McCarthy that really caught the eyes of NFL evaluators.
And don't you think it would warm Jim Harbaugh's heart to be able to make a deal to put his quarterback in a great situation in the NFL?
He has
as much as they admire
as
each other,
as anybody.
He has,
you
know, been Jim, talking him up.
Hey, Jim thinks he should be a Bears quarterback like Jim was himself. He thinks he should be the number one player in the draft. That's not going to happen.
But this might be the best situation, as you've been saying, for any quarterback in the draft. All right, so let's move on because we want to talk about another team in need of a quarterback, and that is the Denver Broncos. Mel has the top four QBs off the board, as you know, before the Broncos pick at 12, and he has them taking highly regarded cornerback Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo as the first cornerback off the board. He's just the second back-to-back All-American in school history, ran a 4.3 40 at the Combine. So you are saying, Mel, that the Broncos should not move up to try to draft a quarterback. Why not?
Well, first of all, a couple things, Hannah. They don't have a second-round pick, so they don't have that ability. And Quinyon Mitchell's 13 on the big board. He had a phenomenal career, and he had a great draft process. Season, All-Star Game, Senior Bowl practice, and the 4-3-3. Now you think about where Denver is in the division, in the AFC. You got to stop some great quarterbacks. You can't always get home as a pass rush, right? So you got Surtain. Now you got a guy like Quinyon Mitchell. Now, if you say, okay, we still want the quarterback, but we're not taking a quarterback at 12 like Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr., we're going to get an offer to move down, get it to an extra picks in return, then you could maybe think about the quarterback at that point, but not at 12. Everybody I talked to the league said, 12 is too high. I went with Quinyon Mitchell for that reason. Unfortunately for Denver, they don't have a second-round draft choice.
Yeah, I didn't see Quinyon Mitchell throwing the ball in that great highlight package that we had. So I don't know who's going to play quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Maybe it's Sean Payton. Maybe it will be Jared Stidham or Ben DiNucci, but I wouldn't feel great about that. What shocks me with Denver is we saw basically the entire NFL shuffle the quarterback position. Justin Fields gets traded. Kenny Pickett gets traded. Carson Wentz is a backup quarterback in Kansas City right now. And the Denver Broncos sat on their hands and did not add a single quarterback. In fact, they're paying Russell Wilson a ton of money to not play quarterback for them. So I think Denver has really backed itself into a corner where they're saying they have to add a quarterback. 12 certainly feels too early for Bo Nix. But who's it going to be with no second-round pick? Are you waiting and hoping Spencer Rattler is there in the third round? So we see teams do this sometimes where would we make the pick at 12 of Bo Nix? Maybe not, but it definitely feels like they have to just based on what they didn't do, which was add some quarterback competition in this year's free agent or trade periods.
Yeah, look, I would have a tough time believing that Sean Payton would go two full seasons without making one of his moves, or rather a move that is precipitated by him for the most important position on an NFL roster. Now, again, does that mean that he drafts a quarterback at 12 without having the ammo to move up? No, maybe it doesn't. But I think of what the great Jimmy Johnson said all the time in terms of how he viewed the draft. The draft is about maneuvering up and down the board to get in position to get the players that you want at the price that you're willing to pay and that you think you will be able to get them at. So there has to be some other quarterbacks in this draft other than the top four that he likes. And if Bo Nix and Michael Penix are people that he likes, then I would expect him to move to get into a position to pick one of those guys, because without him, well, you're just going to go into the season, you're right, with Jared Stidham and Ben DiNucci, that's it. Two seasons now, you're going to go into the season with knowing that you're in the AFC West against the gauntlet that you're going to be going against in terms of quarterbacks in that division, let alone the AFC overall, and you're just going to ride with Jared Stidham and Ben DiNucci and not put your stamp on that position. I don't see that happening. So really, I could see Denver, quite honestly, moving down and just getting themselves situated to where they think they can get one of those two guys, whether it be either Penix or Bo Nix. Because quite honestly, look, there isn't a whole lot not to like about either one of those two players. And Bo Nix, I think, would look very good in that offense in particular.
You know, there might be some other uniforms that he would look good in, according to our friend Mel Kiper Jr., maybe, I don't know, the G-men. So You have another trade in your mock. Take us through it. That lands Bo Nix in the Big Apple.
The Giants move up, Hannah, that first pick, second round, Will Levis, the Tennessee Titans moved up to get last year, similar situation. They have Daniel Jones, who I like, but can they count on him long-term, short-term, coming off injury? Obviously, the offensive line's going to be better, and you add Malik Nabers at six, but then you go up and get Bo Nix, and I think for Brian Daboll, it would be his guy, be a guy who is the processor, is accurate, and is 24 years of age. Keep in mind, guys, that the Green Bay Packers had Aaron Rodgers. He was going into year four. They drafted Brian Brohm in the second round out of Louisville. Okay, so they didn't know what Aaron would be. Aaron became great, right? Hall of Fame. But they still drafted in the second round a quarterback because they didn't know. They don't know yet about Daniel Jones. You draft Bo Nix. Who knows if Daniel Jones takes off and builds on what we saw a couple years ago? Who knows? But Bo Nix would be that security blanket in case that doesn't happen. And it would be Daboll and the GM's guy, which is what the NFL is all about.
Right, Joe Shane. And they've been very active in the free agency period. How do you like Bo Nix with the G-men? What do you think of that fit, Lewis?
Yeah, look, I think Bo Nix is a very mature, accomplished quarterback that has continued to progress every single year of his college career, whether it be completion percentage, yards per attempts, yards, touchdown throws, reducing his interceptions. He's one of the very best in terms of preventing negative plays, not committing negative plays, whether that means taking sacks, fumbles, interceptions. He protected the ball better than any quarterback in the FBS last year. So I think any head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback coach would love a guy who has that kind of makeup and who has displayed that kind of, let's just say, being careful with taking care of the football when he's on the football field. And so, look, Bo is one of those guys who, when we were down at the Senior Bowl, continued to progress, continued to show that in a pro-style type of offense, taking snaps from under center, full field reads, throwing the football short, intermediate, deep with accuracy. Look, he showed that at Oregon, too. He just showed it in a different context down there at the Senior Bowl. I'm someone who, the more I read through my notes, having already looked at Bo Nix extensively, it's hard not to like what he does. And it is not really hard to project him having a very successful career at the NFL level if he gets all the things that we talk about with every other quarterback that would lead to him having success.
Mel, it's a nice mock right here, by the way. Two rounds is not an easy thing to do. I like it. Not sure that I'm totally buying in on the idea of the Giants paying the cost to move up to acquire Bo Nix for this reason, is that this is a team that if the ownership directive is we must get better this year or else, when I say or else, I mean the head coach and the GM could be in some trouble, then you're going to do whatever it takes to acquire a quarterback who could give you an upgrade over Daniel Jones. If you have a bit more patience on your side, then what I am concerned about is the idea of paying $40 million guaranteed to Daniel Jones this season and then trading up for Bo Nix, which is going to come at the cost of a future second-round pick plus that 47th overall pick, and then having this potentially be a competition with Daniel Jones might win coming out of training camp. I like Bo a lot. He had solid, rock solid tape. Lewis referenced some of the highlights to his game. Such a great processor, incredibly mature player, as Lewis mentioned as well. I just wonder, like, for the Giants, at some point, the ledger of quarterback cost this year is so significant that it feels like in some ways they're trying to compensate for what they may have done accidentally last year by reinvesting in Daniel Jones.
Right, by paying him, franchising Saquon. No guaranteed money left on Jones' contract after this season. Yeah. And I agree with you on Knicks being mature. He had to handle so many questions about transferring, and the transfer portal had to deal with a lot of that, handled everything really well. And, you know, talking to the New York media, that's a whole nother level.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, we have a lot. Hey, that may never happen, right? We're just talking about a mock draft here, and it sure is a lot of fun. We are far from done. All right, up next, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Who's going to be their wide receiver one? Lewis breaks down what type of receiver each needs to ramp up his offense next on NFL Live.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
The NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN and ABC.
We are moving ever closer. Only 15 days away, the first round takes place 2 weeks from tomorrow in Detroit. And Mel Kiper Jr. in his latest mock has Georgia wide receiver Ladd McConkey going 39th overall to the Panthers. Carolina not just getting a versatile and a shifty receiver, but also somebody with a huge heart.
Hunter Sweeney, just a huge dog fan.
Oh, dogs! Sick them!
That was Christmas morning. I saw on Facebook a video of him opening my jersey. Kind of broke down in tears.
Sweeney's crying. What is it, Hunter?
It's a Ladd McConkey jersey.
So he ended up messaging him. His parents brought him over. He ended up living, like, it wasn't even 5 minutes from my house.
Oh, no. Who is that?
I walked out there, and they were in their car and everything, kind of opened the door. He just kind of looked at me for a second. I don't think he realized fully what was going on.
What's up, man? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Don't cry. You're good, buddy.
I like that jersey.
Give me a hug.
Come home.
Oh, my goodness.
Bring it in.
Putting a smile on someone's face is one of the best feelings ever because it puts one right back on mine.
Wow, that is awesome.
Misty in your hands.
I know. I was like, woof. What a great kid. McConkey, the 10th wide receiver taken in Mel's latest mock at number 39 overall to the Panthers. 10 would be the most wide receivers taken in the top 40 in the common draft era. Mel has the Bills taking Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU there at number 28. And then the Chiefs taking Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina with that final pick in the first round. We have heard so much about this depth at receivers, so we're looking there, Mel, at the bottom of the first round. Tell us about these two receivers in particular and the impact that you envision them having.
And Buffalo is going to be interesting. Brandon Bean, general manager, is he going to move up and get a receiver that he targets? Is he going to wait it out? It's Brian Thomas Jr. averaged 17 yards a catch with 17 touchdowns this year. Slides down that far. Keep in mind, Dalton Kincaid's the go-to guy right now, right? Stephon Diggs has now moved on to Houston. He had that key drop against the Chiefs in the playoffs, right? Remember, Josh launched that pass right in his head, dropped, key play late in the game, final drive. So I think the guy can catch the football on a consistent basis. Brian Thomas Jr., emerging guy with a ton of talent. Like I said, everything goes through Kincaid there. The Chiefs, Xavier Leggett, another guy, catches the football. Had a great year at South Carolina. That one phenomenal season. Another guy, Adonai Mitchell from Texas. If he's there, is going to be interesting. I have him to the Lions. But wide receiver depth could push a couple good players like Brian Thomas Jr. and Xavier Leggett down the board to the Bills and the Chiefs.
Yeah, the interesting thing about these guys that Mel is talking about, whether it be Brian Thomas, A.D. Mitchell, or Xavier Leggett, is the profile of the players, you know, in terms of their body type, their height, their weight, their speed, you know, what kind of physical traits that they have. Because there's a difference between, obviously, inside players primarily and then outside players who are true X's and Z's, guys who can win on the outside. And those types of players are exactly what Buffalo and Kansas City respectively need. They need those guys who can line up on the outside in one-on-one situations and win jump ball situations, win at the third level of the defense. The guy, the kind of guys who, when you need them to, can come inside, take the short slant, split the defense, and then take it 70, 80 yards. All three of these guys can do that kind of thing. And see, and that's what's important, because both of these teams, whether you're talking about Kansas City or Buffalo, they have the guys who can work the intermediate game, who can work between the numbers. And if you're like, think about Kansas City right now with who knows what's going to happen here with Rasheed Rice in terms of his status and his availability for 2024. You think that Patrick Mahomes wouldn't love a guy like A.D. Mitchell, like Xavier Leggett, where if you turn on his tape in South Carolina, is basically like A.J. Brown liked? He's that kind of guy, the kind of guy who just can absolutely rip you. A.D. Mitchell, the kind of guy who you see here on the highlights, who can just push off at the move point and win in those red zone contested ball situations. They need that kind of 6'2", 6'3", 212, 215, 220-pound wide receiver who runs sub 4.4. That's what's so cool about this draft, about just how deep the wide receiver position is.
Okay, so knowing that it's deep field, which one of these teams cannot afford to not take that first round receiver?
Yeah, to me, it's the Buffalo Bills. And Kansas City has proven, even as recently as, oh, I don't know, like a few months ago, that they can win even with an offense that kind of took maybe 17, 18 weeks to find its way. But it's Buffalo. They currently pick at number 28. I felt like wide receiver was a need even prior to the Stephon Diggs trade. But you think about a guy like Xavier Worthy, who Mel had going 23rd in his mock, Brian Thomas Jr. and Adonai Mitchell, players that Lewis just highlighted. I lean towards the guys that have a bit more size to their profile. But the good news is for all of these guys, and believe it or not, Brian Thomas Jr. and A.D. Mitchell are the two slow ones in this trio. They ran, in the 4.3s at 200-plus pounds. But with the arm strength of Josh Allen, the vertical element of that Buffalo offense is going to be a factor. One of those two or one of those three players needs to be a target for Buffalo Bills GM Brandon Bean, who has moved up in the first round in four of the past six drafts.
Yeah, we assume that he knows what he's doing, right? It's been very mysterious. You know, what is Buffalo doing? How much are they rebuilding? But certainly has a history, and we know Brandon Bean has a plan. 15 wideouts in the first two rounds? That's crazy.
That's a good number by Mel.
Yeah, great that is. Mel. Hey, it's history, right? Most ever in the common draft era. We love it, Mel. All right, time now for some draft buzz. And for that, we're going to go back to Matt. What's some of the latest you're hearing, Matt, about teams' plans just over 2 weeks out?
Yeah, we're getting down to crunch time, and that's when the information goes into overload. But one player who certainly helped himself in the last week was Cooper DeJean, the defensive back from Iowa who missed time this year with a broken fibula. He was able to work out for NFL scouts, and he put on a show. At 6 foot tall, 204 pounds, he ran a 4.43 in the 40-yard dash and then jumped 30 and a half inches in the vertical, showing his explosiveness. He is a playmaker on the back end. I would not be shocked if he's not a top 20 selection and maybe the third corner off the board when it is all said and done because of his versatility on the back end of the defense. Now, the Arizona Cardinals are in an interesting spot at number 4 overall. The way I hear it from teams, they are wanting a Trey Lance trade package to move out of that spot. As a reminder, the 49ers gave up 3 first-round picks and a third-round pick to go up from the number 12 spot to number 3 to select Trey Lance. That didn't work out for them, but the team that would make this trade up hopefully would be able to get that number three quarterback this year. Maybe it would be Drake May. Maybe it would be a J.J. McCarthy. Now, Jaden Daniels, speaking of quarterbacks, has solidified himself, according to NFL teams, as the number two passer in this class. There's been a lot of conversation about who the Commanders would take. Would it be Jaden Daniels? Would it be Drake May? Could we see a surprise with J.J. McCarthy? The way I hear it, Jaden Daniels is who the Washington Commanders have eyes for as we get closer to the draft and teams get closer to stacking and setting those boards before they go on the clock.
Yeah, I mean, what's not to love? Only player in FBS history to reach 12,000 career passing yards, 3,000 career rushing yards. If only that number two pick works out as well this year as it did last year. Wow. All right, still to come, the Packers exceeded expectations last season, the young pack. Who should they be looking to go after now in the draft to help build around Jordan Love as they want to take it one step further? Field Yates is here, and he has that answer. He would love to tell you.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to NFL Live. Josh Allen, the defensive star, is getting paid big time. Once again, the news today from Adam Schefter. The Jags pass rusher has reached agreement on a five-year, $150 million deal worth $88 million guaranteed. The 26-year-old Allen coming off the best season of his career, a franchise record 17.5 sacks, tied for second in the NFL last season. How about that? Plays on the fifth-year option on his rookie contract and gets paid big time. And this just demonstrates how valuable the top-flight pass rushers are, Matt. So who in this draft, who is your comp that reminds you of Allen?
Yeah, the perfect comp, Hannah, is Dallas Turner, the defensive end from Alabama, who is likely to be the first defender selected in this year's draft. Similar in terms of body type, similar in terms of length, both under 250 pounds, but cheetah-like speed. And oh my goodness, can they bend off the edges pass rushers? That's what Turner did so well this past year. 10 sacks, 12.5 tackles for a loss for Alabama, coming out of the shadow of Will Anderson Jr. this past season and being that number one pass rusher for Nick Saban. He has relentless pursuit when chasing down ball carriers and quarterbacks in the backfield. And like Josh Allen, he's going to have to develop a little bit once he gets in the NFL, get a little bit stronger, have to work on a counter move. But Dallas Turner absolutely has all the ability to become a 10-sack guy, maybe even 17.5 like Josh Allen someday.
Wow, that's a pretty high bar there. We will see you top of the hour on the mock draft special, Matt. So we'll bid you goodbye for now to go get ready for that. Meanwhile, Field, we have spent so much time on the offensive players in the draft. Let's give the defensive players some love. Give me an impact player estimation.
I wish we were lining up to play a game tomorrow. We're not. But if we did, the player that I feel most confident amongst any defensive player in this entire class is Leiatu Latu, the pass rusher from UCLA. Had over 13 sacks this past season as the Pac-12 defensive player of the year, and to have this kind of IQ as a pass rusher at his age of his career is truly stunning. He's a good athlete, not a premium athlete, but he wins with his brain, his handwork. He is such a technician. He is relentless. I think this player is going to exceed expectations. If he goes somewhere in the 20s, I think it is a steal for the best defensive film in the entire class.
You know, they have Cooper DeJean, the cornerback from Iowa. Is he a corner? Is he a safety? He's a heck of a football player. That's all I know. And you need cover guys across the board in the National Football League. He's fast. He's athletic. State long jump champion in high school. 6'5", 202, ran 4.42, 30.5 vertical. Coming back from that injury, 38.5 vertical. And no touchdowns allowed in coverage. 3 pick sixes in 2022. Enough said. Jacksonville Jaguars at 17 will be a great landing spot for Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, for me, it's going to be off-ball linebacker Edgerrin Cooper from Texas A&M. Look, I can sit here and spout off his measurables. He's 6'2", 230. He ran 4.50. He has 34-inch arms. But I'm just telling you this. When you put on the tape and you watch Edgerrin Cooper, you see a guy who can do it all. He can play the inside run. He can come downhill, smack a lead blocker in the mouth, flat back him, and make the tackle. He can range from sideline to sideline. He's going to get you probably double-digit sacks. He's going to remind you of Fred Warner. And if you don't think that off-ball linebackers need to have a premium put on their value, just take a look at some of the tight ends in today's game and look at what they're doing in the middle of the field. They're absolutely bludgeoning defenses, and you better have guys like Adrian Cooper who can shut it down inside out. Otherwise, you're never going to get to where you want to get to. This guy's a stud.
Yeah, to your point, 14 tackles for loss in 2023. All right, we're going to talk about one of Lewis's favorite subjects coming up. That would be the Eagles, my friend. Okay, so they collapsed, as we know, in the second half of the season. What move should they make in the draft to help bounce back in that season opener in Brazil? Stay tuned to hear what we have to say next. Welcome back to NFL Live. Our other top story today, the NFL has announced the Green Bay Packers will be the Eagles' opponent for the first ever NFL game in South America on Friday, September 6th in Brazil, one night after the traditional season opener. It's the first time since 1970 the NFL has played on a Friday night in week one. Eagles had previously been announced as the home team for the game in Sao Paulo. And after starting 10-1, you remember the Eagles finished 1-5 in their final six games last season, losing by 23 points to the Bucs in the wild card round. They were active in free agency. They signed Saquon Barkley, Bryce Huff. They bring back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Philly also has 8 picks in the draft, including 3 in the top 53. That is tied for the most in the NFL. So, Mel, as they look to put that final stretch of the season behind them, what do you see them doing with that first pick at number 22?
I think corner, Hannah, is where they have to go. Nate Wiggins from Clemson would make sense. Ran 4.28, only allowed one completion over 20 yards. But guess what? They pick at 22. If Denver says, hey, we don't necessarily want the corner, we want the quarterback, Philadelphia could move up from 22 to 12. They have 2 second-round picks. Denver doesn't have a 2. Denver could move up down and get Bo Nix, okay, at 22, not at 12. And then Eagles could go to 12 and get Quinyon Mitchell, corner from Toledo, or Terrion Arnold, corner Alabama, whoever they deem the top cover man in this draft. So possibility there, offensive line, wide receiver as well, Lou, for the Eagles, need areas.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Cornerback has got to be priority number one for them. They know that they are deficient in that area. Look, they need more reinforcements. They need to get younger. They need to get more playmakers in that area of the defense. Quite honestly, all 3 levels of the defense need to be improved and need to be fortified. But in particular, corner and then pass rusher on the edge. They have Bryce Huff now in the fold. But last year, the pass rush wasn't able to step up and really provide them the punch that they had the year before when they were within a couple plays here and there of upsetting Kansas City in the Super Bowl. So I think that side of the ball is where the attention will be paid to. I think Vic Fangio now being in the place that he ultimately wanted to be, you know, even last year when he was in Miami coordinating, he wanted to be in Philadelphia. I think rushing with 4 is something that he loves to do, and he loves to cover with 7. So they need more pass rushers and playmakers up front. But defense, I think is where the focus will be early and often in this draft.
Yeah, you know, it was painful. They allowed 27 touchdowns to opposing wide receivers in 2023. That was second most in the NFL. All right, let's go to the other end of the spectrum. We like to keep it positive here. The Packers were red hot down the stretch, winning 6 of their final 8 regular season games and going on to beat the Cowboys, that stunning win in the wild card round. And then they lose by just 3 points to the Niners in the divisional round. They signed running back Josh Jacobs in free agency. They add to their defense with Xavier McKinney and Keyshawn Nixon. Green Bay, 11 picks in this year's draft, tied for the most in the NFL, including 5 in the first 3 rounds. That is 3rd most. So they have their quarterback. They have some really good young players, and their first pick is at 25. What should it be?
I'm going to take it. All right, offensive tackle will be one spot that I'll be looking at right now for the Green Bay Packers. They do have Rasheed Walker, who could be their left tackle placeholder for right now. David Bakhtiari, of course, no longer a Green Bay Packer, dealt with numerous injury issues over the past few years, but this team has proven that it has foresight on its side. So maybe Rasheed Walker is the week one starting left tackle, but it would not surprise me if they attack that position in this year's draft. I'll also throw a couple more at you, Hannah.
Okay.
A new defensive coordinator in Jeff Hafley. He needs some linebacker reinforcements. Quay Walker, kind of the only man left over in that linebacker room that is particularly familiar to fans outside of Green Bay. cornerback and safety as well. Jeff Hafley loves to play a lot of man coverage schemes. We'll see whether Green Bay continues to add to that position as well.
Field, I love the way it's set up for the Packers. When I did the two-round mock, because I had Amarius Mims there when the Packers picked, right? He only started 8 games, but he's got a ton of talent. They need that bookend tackle they can develop. And then you mentioned it, secondary, Javon Bullard. Versatile defensive back out of Georgia. Secondary need, corner safety. He can do everything. And we talk off-ball linebacker, Edgerrin Cooper, early in the second round. They have two twos. Would make a lot of sense for the Green Bay Packers.
All right, guys, before we go, this was a lot of fun, but we have some very important news to bring you in time for one more thing, because here at ESPN, we have long considered Lewis Riddick among the very sharpest of dressers. Now, this just in, he has a new line of clothing, Pitt Apparel, just in time for the spring football game. I mean, Lewis, this is stunning. How did this come to be?
This was brought to me by the University of Pittsburgh that wanted to collaborate with me on a line of sports apparel, and then they wound up picking the vendor here in Mitchell & Ness. And Mitchell & Ness makes this absolutely fantastic. I'm sure everyone is familiar with the wear and the gear that they have, that they make, from jerseys to jackets to shorts to sweats. Mm-hmm. And we have a bunch of cool things coming here down the pike, with the first iteration of it being, you know, put on sale here at the spring game on Saturday and then online afterwards. I'm fired up about it, Hannah. I'm interested to see how people really receive it. They put together some just fantastic pieces for both men and women. So I'm kind of excited about it. And quite honestly, I'm really humbled and kind of like speechless about it.
Apparently not speechless, because that was a very good speech right there. Thanks for bringing the knowledge and the swag. We'll see you guys back top of the hour next.